Saturday. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Welcome to The Money Show. This is your wallet's favorite show. I'm your wallet's favorite co-host, James Parker. Don't worry, Gregory's out in the hallway. He'll be in today. So if you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you can call Gregory. He's a Hall of Fame financial advisor. And that's the number one thing we love doing on this show, taking calls and helping you with your financial questions in real time, right here live on the radio in front of God and everybody. Actually, there's some people who may be listening to this on the podcast or anyway. So it was live on the radio and it was in front of God and everybody. Whoa. Sorry about that. So, yeah, financial situations, 504-260-0995. You can also send us a call or text from the front screen of the Winning at Life app. That goes directly to Gregory. And remember that app. If you ever have a question, it could be in the middle of the night. You can pull up the Winning at Life app, and you can hit the text feature, and you can type out your question, and it'll go to Gregory. He may not answer it at 4 in the morning. However, he gets all of those, and either he'll follow up with you or someone on the staff will follow up for you, and we'll get you an answer to your questions. So that's what the Winning at Life app is all about, number one. We have so much going on, though. Let me just give you a quick rundown of what's coming up on our calendar. We have some new Gregory Ricks Lives that are announced, and some of them have different topics. So if our previous live events haven't appealed to you, some of these are pretty specific and maybe right up your alley. So I'm going to tell you about those. I'm going to tell you about a free book offer, and we have a new Gregory Ricks & Associates office location with another one on the way. So let's just do the rundown here and get you all caught up before we get into the financial news. So the new Gregory Ricks office location on the North Shore in Mandeville, and it's right in the heart of Mandeville. It is at the corner of Lonesome and 190. You know how if you're from Mandeville, you know how you use the shortcut between 59 and 190 in Mandeville? That's Lonesome Road. You probably already know that. Where it comes out on 190, which is actually over by Mortgage Gumbo, actually. It's maybe a mile down 190 from our buddy Dwayne Stein. So that one's open, and we've been told that, hey, you need to open an office on the North Shore. That sure would be convenient, or I'd be more likely to go. And we open an office on the North Shore, and sure enough, it's filling up, and it's popular, and people want to go, and looks like we did the right thing. We have our next office is in the works, and it's going to be, I guess technically it's Gulfport, isn't it? But it's right on the line between Biloxi and Gulfport, and it's not down by the coast either. It's right up sort of close to the highway. So it's really convenient if you're thinking about coming over from Mobile. And maybe that was stopping you. God, I got to drive all the way to New Orleans. Well, no, we cut out half the trip for you. That office will be open soon, so be aware of that. We'll stay tuned to the show, and we'll let you know as soon as those doors are unlocked. As far as the live events go, our next big Gregory Ricks Live, the Wine, Wisdom, and Food, people who are thinking they may need the help of a financial planner, that's still March 19th. 6:30 p.m. at Ruth's Chris in Metairie, but there's two more that are happening before that. And these are smaller, sort of scaled down events, and they're very topic specific. The next one we're having is not this coming Tuesday, but the next Tuesday. That's February 19th, and this is a Gregory Ricks Live tax event. So this isn't for people who are necessarily thinking, I need a financial advisor. I need to get my retirement plan taken care of. These are people who need to get their taxes taken care of. I can tell you three people who absolutely need to go to this. If you're itemizing your tax deductions, but you're trying to do this all yourself, probably have already figured out, you know, that you're missing some money somewhere. You don't know all those rules. Or if you're not real happy with your guy and he's just kind of doing it on the side. But here's another one. This is probably even more important. If you are self-employed and you're not itemizing, you have no idea what you're missing. And then finally, the third person that needs to go is the guy that got behind. He has either some unfiled years or he has just payments piling up. And if you're behind on your taxes, This could be your pathway out. It'll at least show you some light at the end of the tunnel, and Gregory is going to take care of that for you. February 19th, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. And that one's going to be in the office complex of Gregory Ricks and Associates, and just a quick little luncheon too. So the next one after that is the next Monday. There's going to be another. It's a lunch and learn event like the tax event, and this one is going to feature estate planning. With Wes Blanchard, who is our guest today, he's going to be in here in about 55 minutes, and he's going to talk about some estate planning there. But if you have some estate planning issues and you're looking to get some help, I can tell you he needs to go to that one. In fact, we talked about it on the show last night. We'll probably bring it up with Wes as well. But if you're a guardian of someone with special needs, if your estate is large enough that your being stared down by the estate tax. You know, you can tell when someone's looking at you, the estate tax, they're just, it's just looking at you this whole time. But we came up with some other people who need estate planning the most. I talked to Wes last night and this morning. But people with dangerous jobs or hobbies, you really need an estate plan. And he's shocked at how many of these people don't. You know, the most dangerous, the most lethal occupation in the country is being a logger. Lumberjacks die more on the job than anyone else. And we have quite a few of them around here, but also oil field workers, farmers, policemen, firemen, and fishermen have an incredibly high mortality rate on the job too. That's a little weird. Or if you have one of those hobbies, you've seen those dudes put on the wingsuit, and not only do you have to do the wingsuit, you have to scrape your stomach down these mountains while you're doing it with a GoPro camera on your head. If that's your type of hobby, I recommend estate planning, and I recommend doing it quick. All right. And the book offer. Now, maybe I should get Gregory to tell you more about the book offer here, because I haven't read this book, Gregory. Do I need to read this book too?
Of course.
All right. So I'll, how can I get a copy? I got to send an email to info@gregoryricks.com and you'll get me one.
Call the office or send an email, info@gregoryricks.com, or go to the website or through the app. A lot of ways to, you can text or email us through the Winning at Life app. Call the office, 504-832-9200. New rules of retirement. Basically, what we're trying to get across is get you to start thinking, get a conversation started about creating tax-free income at retirement. You know, what you're hearing more of is debts going up, need to increase taxes. And I've said this for, we've been saying this for a while. There's a window. It could shrink faster, but under the tax law that was passed, about 2 years ago now,
right
thereabouts, we have an 8-year window left, because that's basically set up on a 10-year time frame, and it reverts back to what it was from personal income tax. And you say, oh, I thought it was permanent. No, the corporate was permanent. However, they always change the rules, and that 8 years might be a shorter time frame. So what we have is an opportunity, if we're looking to shift assets, create tax-free income, or put money to work. We know taxes are going up for most everyone at some point in time. You have to think of that. But if you have zero tax income, for example, like Roth income or our max funding strategy, it's not going to be taxed in the tax code. It would have to be major, 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 major something for those things to be changed. So that's why you need some of your income streaming to where you're not being taxed. So I want you to request this book. It's, I've written the foreword from the author, which is an actuary. You know, it's a math guy. And it'll be start the conversation. But we're going to mail you a book for you to read. So it's not a PDF. It's not a digital thing to email you. So you need to make the request, and we'll send you the book out.
You had to order a whole new stack of them too. You don't mind giving
we just got in 200 more books. We had ran out. The requests were enormous, and I don't know how long the 200's going to last. Might just last a couple weeks, but I suggest you get your copy soon.
All right. info@gregoryricks.com or call the office directly, 504-832-9200. And if you can't remember that, you definitely can remember GregoryRicks.com. GregoryRicks.com. How convenient is that, that you and I both, we don't have names that are hard to spell. So if you wanted to look us up, no one's going to be messing it up. What you got there? You already have an email or something?
No, I'm just having computer issues. Got this new laptop, and I can't even get into the darn thing.
Well, this is the old one.
It's unbelievable. Yeah, it's old one, and it has issues, but I've got a new one. And just show you the complications with our security systems, that there's several levels. There's a PIN, then there's a password, then there's a firm level to enter. I'm about ready to trash the thing because I can't even get into the darn thing. Brand new computer. Can't even get into it. So it just, like, it says I keep putting in the wrong PIN. Well, I put in a bunch of PINs. I can't imagine what I would have put in that I wouldn't remember. So I put in a whole bunch of different pins, and it doesn't like any of them.
Well,
it doesn't like my password, and it's got a face scanner. It doesn't like my face either. So what good's the machine? I can't get in it.
Sounds like you and the machine need to break up.
Oh, yeah. I'm thinking about wiping the whole thing and starting over, but that's what my tech people, when I dial them up Monday morning, we're going to have a come to Jesus meeting with the computer, so to speak.
You're going to wipe it? You've had it for a day?
It is pretty aggravating.
Well, look, here's another option. You could just not keep your customers' data so secure all the time, Gregory.
Well, that, you know, security is very important. That's when we got gazillion passwords. And just like when we log into Fidelity, there's a number of things we have to do there. And then, of course, we have to change the password so often.
All right. So coming up in the 11 o'clock hour, Wes Blanchard, the estate planning attorney at the Total Wealth Authority, will be in the studio. So if you have an estate planning question, that could be about a will, a trust, if you're inheriting some money and there's some questions between you and the siblings, or if you're setting up a system for your heirs, there's some great advice can be had in the 11 o'clock hour. In the meantime, Gregory Ricks here, a Hall of Fame financial advisor, would love to answer your financial questions. This could be about IRAs, which we're going to go over a little bit of that outline that we did during the week. We had also had a couple of really good discussions. I'm going to run one by you here. A military retiree was wondering if he was going to get hit by the windfall elimination provision, and there was a court ruling and it got really complicated. But if you have a financial situation for you or your family, or we get a lot of friend questions, 504-260-0995, or you can give us a call or text via the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Pour it on easy
now. Don't spill a bit. Welcome back. Nothing but time tonight. Let's get to killing. This is Winning at Life. Yeah, this is your weekend show, 3 hour extravaganza. Yeah, I'll talk about the money, talk about the green world, talking about going green. I want to go green with more money. You know, all our money used to be green. It's kind of multicolored, but we still call it green. I want to grow my money. I want to keep more of it. I want to build tax-free income. I want to maximize my Social Security benefit. I want to maximize my 401k. Just want to save more. You're going to need more than you think. Hey, we're here till 1 o'clock. Hour two coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll have Wes Blanchard, member of the Total Wealth Authority, and we're going to talk estate planning. And we'll talk a little bit about the Lunch and Learn estate planning event that we have coming up on February 25th. But before that, we have a Lunch and Learn regarding tax planning coming up on February 19th. It's at Metairie in our office building to sign. It's limited seat. I'm just telling you, I think there's 16 seats all total. So it's a small group situation. We're going to provide box lunches, and just call the office 504-832-9200 to RSVP. You can do it through info at Gregory Ricks. You can go to the website. You can do it through the app. I give you a lot of ways to do that to lock down a seat. You're going to have to RSVP. And guess what? There's no fee. You don't have to do anything but come and learn. We want to make it easy for you to plug in to our system. So once again, give us just, you know, reach out to us. Now, that Winning at Life app, that is the show app, but you can download it. You just go to your app store and type in Winning at Life, free download. So you can text, email, call the show. If you're leaving your AirFeed, like, what do I mean by that? Do they know what AirFeed is? That's your radio, like your car radio, old school. If you want to switch to streaming, you can connect us through the app. Also, iHeartRadio. We need that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. iHeartRadio. Has a pretty cool app that we've connected through there, and we have a lot of podcasts and all. I know we've said we were going to get that library out, a little bit of delay from just getting approval on all those episodes for the library, but it's forthcoming. We expect that release would be March to kind of
I think if we say lawyers, people just understand what we mean without going into details. It's been delayed. Why? Lawyers. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just got to make sure we're not providing promises, guarantees,
right.
Stuff like that. You see, my world, I am a financial advisor. I'm a fiduciary, licensed fiduciary under an RIA, speaking technically what's going on there. So being we talk about money, I know all this stuff. There, you know, we're kind of watched as far as what we do in the firm as money managers and dealing with clients. Yeah, they watch us. We're kind of supervised. We're not freelance and do whatever. Now, being I have this radio show I've done for you and I've done together for over 8 years. Now, they still, even though it's a financial news talk show, it's not a firm infomercial or anything like that. And my firm is a sponsor of the show, as well as others that sponsor this show. They still, because of my license, they like, oh, you can't do this. You can't say that. We're trying to even update our website. And I don't know. They came up with 100. And basically, it's a reframing of what we've done. But they've looked at it and got like 100 things. Well, we're not liking this. What do you mean by this? And that, and yeah, they even have a system where they take the recording of what we're doing today and they have a computer that listens to it. I don't know what it determines. We've really never got feedback from that, but that's what goes on behind the scenes to make sure we're doing the right and proper thing. And that's what we're about.
That license is a pain in the rear as far as being a radio host goes. It probably works good at the office, but here it stinks.
Well, you know what? We're all trying to look out for clients and make sure we do the right things. And it's not a freelance. It's not whatever. And we're wanting to do the right thing here when we're talking with people. But that's where I'll define on the radio show. We're giving guidance. I can't really say we give advice. You may take it as that, but we're giving guidance, because on a call-in, I don't know enough about you, but I start asking questions to kind of give you guidance. And that's one reason I say, you know, you want to drill down more personally. That's why we have daytime hours for the firm, where you can reach me and my awesome team to help you, give you a second opinion. So I know that's kind of a long rant, but sometimes we have to explain a little bit of what goes on and why. And sometimes we promise certain things about the show and it will get delayed because of a review process, and they're kind of changing up some things. So we'll get that done for you. I'm just kind of looking, I've got a tax table up here looking at some of the new stuff for 2019.
What are you looking at, the brackets over here?
Yeah. Basically looking at, okay, well, 2019 IRA and Roth IRA contribution limits, you know, they've changed.
Yeah, we were talking about that on Thursday's show.
Yeah, so as far as contribution limits, so they've changed the max, and they did not lower it, they increased it. So for 2019 IRA and Roth IRA contribution limits, if you're under age 50, it's $6,000. Up from 5,500, which had been that way for a few years. If you're 50 plus, you can put up to $7,000 in an IRA or Roth contributions. Now, if we go to, say, Roth IRA eligibility, and let's say you're married, filing jointly, or a qualifying widower, and your modified adjusted gross income is less than $193,000, you can contribute up to the limit, depending on your age, under 50 or 50 and over. Now, if your income is over $193,000, but less than $203,000, the amount you can contribute is going to be reduced, and there's a scale.
That's a phase out.
For that. Now, if you, once again, married, filing jointly, or qualified widower, and your income's over $203,000, you can't contribute anything to a Roth IRA.
Directly.
Now, when I speak about the zero, now we talk about what's referred to as a backdoor Roth, meaning if you don't have an IRA and you set up an IRA and it's a non-deductible contribution, any day after you make that contribution, you can do a Roth conversion and move it over to a Roth, because there's no income limits on Roth conversions. So it's simply you do the contribution to a non-deductible traditional IRA, and then you can do a conversion any day after that to get it into a Roth. So when your income is over that limit, that's one way of doing it. Now, if you, and here's a scenario, let's say you have an IRA and it has $50,000 in it. Say, well, I make too much, but I want to get money into a Roth. Can I do the backdoor Roth? I'm going to really say no. Technically, you can, but that contribution is not going, that you just put in after tax, non-deductible, is it going to get converted over? Because you have, the way the IRS looks at, okay, you've put $6,000 in, but you got $50,000 over here in an IRA. So they look at that as an aggregate, and that $50,000 is untaxed money. Say it's pre-tax. Say it was rollover from a 401k in the IRA or something, or was previously deductible money. So it's not taxed. So you've got $6,000 after tax, and you've got $50,000 that's not tax, pre-tax money that's grown. And you're wondering, well, I want to do a Roth conversion. Well, they're going to let you get a little bit of that after-tax in, but you're mostly going to be shifting pre-tax money. They have a formula and a form for that. So you see, it doesn't work too well there. So in cases like that, we work with an individual, and let's get all of that converted if it's appropriate for them to do a Roth conversion on that whole amount. And you kind of say, well, wow, that'd be a big tax bill. Yeah, it probably would. That's also why you might want to, what I refer to as strategically do conversions and do that over time and manage your tax brackets to minimize the burden of that. Okay, so continuing on with Roth IRA eligibility. Married, filing separately, and you lived with your spouse at any time during the year, and your modified adjusted gross income is less than $10,000, you can contribute a reduced amount. Over $10,000, it's zero.
All right, I got some questions already, but we have to take a break. If you have a question, or it doesn't even have to be related to this, just financial, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
I believe most people are good, and most mamas ought to qualify for sainthood. I believe most Friday nights.
Hey, this is Winning at Life. Hey, glad you're back with us. We started at 10 like we do every Saturday, and we'll go to 1 o'clock. Yeah, 3 hours. This is live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. If you'd like to join the conversation, yes, you can call in, ask questions. Social Security, your 401k, IRAs, and we're kind of talking about contribution rules right now, and we'll continue that in this segment. But if you'd like to join the conversation, we had Dr. Megan call in last night, a new resident ER doctor. I'll say in the region, we didn't drill down, but she's South Louisiana, I assume. And just talking about college debt. So we get those calls as well, and looking at, you know, what program helps relieve the debt or how to go about paying for it. And, you know, we can have discussions about that as well. Most students out there going to school are creating debt that they're going to have to deal with later. We as consumers create debt, borrow money to buy cars, borrow money to buy houses, borrow money to buy clothes, you know, credit cards.
Yes.
Like Dillard's or Macy's or whatever. And
I know.
Throughout life, regardless, we have to keep a handle on debt, whether it's for going to college or leading our life, you know, or I guess, you know, and if they're sending kids to private school, are they borrowing money, financing that? How does that go? Does that get to be a problem, and you have to manage it? You can't do like the country. The country can print money, but we ourselves cannot. So we could become over our heads, be drowning in debt. So join the conversation, 504-260-0995, or reach out to us through the Winning at Life app.
All right. So explain this, who qualifies for what when the Roth goes down? Because this looks like one of those that's a rule to prevent a workaround, because it doesn't make sense standing on its own.
We really don't talk about this, but this situation, well, we're married, filing separately, and you lived with your spouse anytime during the year, and your modified adjusted gross is under $10,000, you can contribute a reduced amount to the Roth. And if your income's over $10,000, you can't contribute to a Roth. You know, how many times have I had that come across my office? I don't think ever. But it's the IRS, basically, why is that in there? Because they found there's a workaround.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they really narrow what your opportunity is to make a contribution there. And we see that in other scenarios, but it's married filing separately. Social Security has some rules in there, and we've seen it in other areas where they could be divorced, but living in the household is addressed as well. So we've had those discussions. So let's move to the next one. Single head of household or married filing separately, and you did not live with your spouse at any time during the year.
Okay.
So under $122,000, you can contribute the max amount to a Roth IRA. Depending on your age, under 50 is $6,000, 50 and up $7,000. Now, if you're making more than $122,000 but less than $137,000, once this is single head of household or married filing separately and you did not live with your spouse. So over $122K, under $137K, you can contribute a reduced amount. And if you, as basically single individual, make more than $137,000, you cannot contribute anything to a Roth on a contribution basis. Remember, wherever there are zeros, you could do the backdoor Roth, which is have a non-deductible IRA. You do a contribution to up to your limit, and you can do a Roth conversion because Roth conversions do not have any income limits. But that would be limited. Your ability to do that would be limited if you have an IRA account existing with money in it. So those variations of that would need to be addressed. So going to the next one would be the traditional IRA deductions. Because a lot of people are, why they like contributing to IRA? Because they can deduct it from their taxes. So we'll start this way. Single head of household, and if you're a modified MAGI, one way to look at modified, or I see it written a lot of times as MAGI, but that's modified adjusted gross income. If it is $64,000 or less, you can take a full deduction up to the amount of your contribution limit. If it's more, your income's more than $64,000 but less than $74,000, it's a partial deduction.
Phase out.
Yeah, it's a phase out. And $75,000 or more in adjusted gross income, there is no deduction.
$74,000?
Yep. $74,000 or more, there is no deduction. Married, filing jointly, or qualifying widower, your adjusted gross income, $103,000 or less, you get the full deduction up to your contribution limit. Now, if it's more than $103,000 but less than $123,000, it's a partial deduction. And if it's $123,000 or more, you can contribute, but there is no deduction from your taxes. So remember, this isn't saying you can't contribute to the IRA, you just can't deduct it. And once again, here we go, married filing separately. Less than $10,000, a partial deduction, more than $10,000 of adjusted gross income is no deduction. And here's some fine print to that. If you file separately and did not live with your spouse at any time during the year, your IRA deduction is determined under the single filing status.
Okay. And I guess the AGI, the adjusted gross income below $10,000, will factor in similar to how it did on the Roth. And I like how they say it's a phase out down to zero because, yeah, if you only made $5 this year, you can't contribute $10 to an IRA.
Yeah. Now, these rules that I just covered, let me go back and throw this in there. If you are covered by a retirement plan at work, this was the information you would use to determine if you can deduct your 2019 traditional IRA contribution. So we have people that are covered by plans at work and contribute to an IRA, and it can be deductible. Now, if you aren't covered by a retirement plan at work or one isn't offered, we have this table for you. So that's why there's these limitations and all that we just covered because of you being having plan eligibility with your employer. So without plan eligibility and you're single, head of household, or qualifying widower, your modified adjusted gross income can be any amount. And you can take a full deduction up to your contribution limit. No income limit there. Married filing jointly or separately with a spouse who is not covered by a plan at work, adjusted gross income can be any amount, and you can have a full deduction up to your contribution limit. Now it changes. Married filing jointly with a spouse who is covered by a plan at work, your adjusted gross income can be $193,000 or less.
That's big.
Yeah, so it gives you a lot of room there, a full deduction up to the amount of your contribution limit. But if your income is more than $193,000 but less than $203,000, it's a phase out. There's a partial deduction. And $203,000 or more in income, no deduction. Married filing separately with spouse who is covered by a plan at work. There's your married filing separately rule. Less than $10,000, no deduction. $10,000 or more. I'm sorry, less than $10,000, a partial deduction, $10,000 or more, no deduction. And if you file separately and did not live with a spouse, it's going to be based upon single filing status. Wow. We covered this in a short version the other night. This is a lot more detail. This is probably good for one of our...
It will be. A podcast episode, sure.
Yes, by topic.
Yeah, so I like how the IRS says, I see what you're trying to do with the workaround, and we're just going to say no soup for you if you make more than $10,000.
And just to reiterate, 2019 Roth IRA conversion eligibility for 2019, anyone can do conversions.
All right, if you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, call Gregory. Hall of Fame Financial Advisor would love to take a crack at your situation, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life. This is the Weekly Wrap. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. Call the show. You know, just look at it this way. Money. It all evolves around money. You're going to work. Some of you working, listening to the show today. Why? Make money. Make more. You want to work hard, do a good job, read books on the site, educate yourself, do better at the job, make more money. Why? So we can save more. Have emergency money. Build up for retirement. If you want to improve upon that, sometimes you might need help, guidance, or a coach, or add to your team. That's kind of how I look at what we are as financial coaches. We do that on the show. I also do that with my daytime job. And always in talking with individuals that come in to talk about where they are on the path. What do they have to do to reach that financial destination so they have a better idea of what's going on? I always kind of add it as what you can do is add us to your team. It's always your money. You're always in charge. Having somebody to help you along the way doesn't mean we take over, we control, but it's adding. And I look at that as you being a regular listener to the show. And in a sense, what you've done is you've added us to your team as well. It's not as individualized, but if you'd like more information about that, you can reach my daytime office, 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com, info@gregoryricks.com, and reach out and ask for that book about building some tax-free income. If you want to call the show, 504-260-0995, and you can reach us through the app. We've got some calls lining up here. We are going to continue. We've got a little bit more regarding these contribution limits on IRAs and such, and I'll throw, and we're going to talk a little bit about the income tax brackets, and I'll throw out here estate planning. This is pretty easy. 2019 federal estate tax levels. For 2019, you're exempt from tax is $11,400,000 per person with portability. The estate tax rate, what is the top rate? 40%.
I hope I can slide under that that threshold there. Hey, real quick before we get to the phones here, for our listeners on WJBO, in about 10 minutes, you're going to switch off to another program. If you want to continue listening to this show, you can download the Winning at Life app and listen to the stream there. Or if you already have the iHeartRadio app, you can go to our flagship station, WRNO, listen there. I just recommend the Winning at Life app. Also, you have some other options, too. You could watch us on Facebook Live or Periscope today if you want to continue that way. And we look absolutely ridiculous because we wore the same shirt almost. We're doing the long sleeve red shirt.
Mine is Tommy Bahama with a zipper.
Yeah, but we look like twins. And I know it doesn't bother you, but I feel so silly when I look at when I look on the screens here and we look like we're in a uniform.
It does. When you look at the screen from Facebook Live or Periscope, yeah, it's like we wore a uniform today.
It's so cute.
Well, I have a red hat, so you don't. So
looks like we're going to get our Christmas card picture taken after the show. And coming up in the next hour, Wes Blanchard, our state planning attorney, is going to be in studio as well. Also want to let you know, before we get to the callers here, we have a few Gregory Ricks Lives coming up. The next one is February 19th. That is for people who have tax issues. We have one February 25th for people who have estate planning issues. And then March 19th is the Wine, Wisdom, and Food. Those are people who are thinking about coming on board and checking out Gregory as a financial advisor. We still have the free book offer. That's still going. So if you want a free book from Gregory at his cost, teaching you some of the basics of creating a mindset of tax-free income in retirement, that book can be had. Send an email to info@gregoryricks.com or call the office. And we do have a new Gregory Ricks and Associates office location open in the Mandeville area. Gulfport coming soon. Details on that. So we've got all that covered.
Yep.
Okay. Jim LaPlace, you're next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Jim?
Good morning, guys. We just did our taxes, and basically we made the exact same amount as we did last year. And we had some deductions we had last year that we don't have this year, and we wound up having to pay $1,500 more in federal taxes. And for the first time ever, instead of getting a refund from the state, we got to pay another extra $300 to the state. And we took out the same deductions as we did last year, take maximum deductions, and then came out that the tax cut didn't turn out to be a tax cut for us.
Yeah, Jim, because you're evil and rich. That's why, Jim. We just made too much money.
Yeah, my wife and I work all the time to pay insurance and sometimes don't even have very much to eat. Or keep our gas so we can go to work, and we wound up having to pay all these extra things when we thought we was actually getting a tax cut.
We hear this a lot, don't we, Gregory?
Yeah, and I feel your pain as well. We've not gotten that far as to do our firm tax returns, and I have a couple of companies, but we're probably going to feel that where what we deduct is taken away from us.
My wife came home. She talked to the tax guy, came home crying, and because last year I had two surgeries, so we needed a few extra dollars to help catch up. And then last year I think we got almost $3,300 back from the federal, and we got like $500 from the state. And then making the exact same money as we did last year, we wound up having to pay $1,500 more in federal and having to pay $300 in addition to what we've already paid to the state.
Yeah, so when you hear talking heads and some of the news shows and whatever out there talking about it, like everybody got big tax breaks and the Trump rules has cut everybody and we're killing the country, but we really didn't all get tax breaks, didn't get reduced taxes.
And this is the thing, we only made $47,000.
Wow.
I support President Trump, but I don't know if he really realized what was happening, because it's like our homeowners insurance premiums, our flood insurance premiums, we couldn't deduct that this year, but last year we could. And, you know, it's just things like that the guy that did our taxes explained to us. We didn't have all the deductions we had last year in one area, but we had them in another, and then he was going through all this calculuses, and it wound up okay. Still got to pay $1,500 more.
Yeah. Hey, thank you, Jim, for listening.
All right. Thanks for
appreciate the call.
Appreciate it. Yeah, closing loopholes for rich people getting tax breaks ends up hitting a lot of us, doesn't it? Steve, Baton Rouge, you're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How you doing, Steve?
I'm well. How are you gentlemen this morning?
Great. Good. Happy Saturday.
I've got a red long sleeve shirt on, so I thought I'd call in.
Hey, you're in the crew. All right.
Well, if there's going to be a picture today, let me know. I'll try to make it over.
Okay.
I have a question regarding some type of tool or methodology to evaluate your rate of return once you get into retirement. I've been retired about 6 years now, and I'm struggling with a little bit of evaluating rate of return on investments, equities, and so on. So it was easy when you're accumulating. You can, you know, you're not taking anything out, but some securities are sold, some equities are sold during the year to live off of, and I'm kind of struggling with how to evaluate my rate of return because our financial plans are always evaluated or on estimated rates of return, and trying to understand if I'm where I need to be still.
Well, what it really comes down to is you have two moving parts. And when we look into the future, because I always kind of like to say, you know, we're always like to look out 5, 10, 15 years to see where we're headed, but we're also looking at rate of returns as we go. So it's not, unless you're getting, say, a CD for 10 years and it's guaranteeing you 4%, you're having moving parts, even on interest rates as well as equities.
Correct.
So you also, how we kind of look at it is we use what's a reasonable expectation to look forward with. And you can kind of have guidance on that based upon what recent history is. Now, if you're out there and let's say you've killed it or whatever in this market period where some people could have had some really good fortune and maybe average 8, 9, or 10. Hypothetically, that's not a number I would use going forward. And then, okay, your distributions. So you've got to factor in what is the amount that you're taking. Now you can get to a number. Well, we need, you know, and somebody might tell me, we need $5,000 a month net. Well, then we have to get to a gross number. Then what is that as a percentage of assets? And I like to be at 4 or less. So you're tasking assets if you're taking more than 4. And if you're all equities, you should be much lower than that. So you've got those two moving parts that you've got to judge. And we're hoping that your reasonable expectation and return is performing more than distribution. Then otherwise, you're having to factor in a spend down over time.
Right. Right. And now I guess my wife and I are ruled generally we consuming what we believe to be about 4.5%. Okay. But some months or some years like last year, we actually, you know, we think we netted much more than that based on the investments and the tangible assets such as real estate and so on. That's pretty easy to, you know, to look at. But
right. Hey, Steve, we're going to jump in right here. Call back after the break if you want to talk a little bit more. We're on for a couple more hours, but we got to jump.
All right. If you want to continue listening to this show out of the Baton Rouge area, you can switch over to the Winning It Life app. I'm James Parker. We are Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning That Life. This is the weekly wrap. Yeah, Saturday. We started at 10. We're going until 1 o'clock. We've probably got people joining us on the stream that were opted out of some stations. We're around, what, 14, 15 markets? We have a
16.
16. We have a show even on Dallas that's earlier in the morning. It's not part of our live mix that we're doing because this is live Financial News Talk Radio. You can join the conversation. We've got Chipper that will get to you and Hammond in a few minutes, but we've already got somebody lined up for hour two. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. Join the conversation is 504-260-0995. And this is also, we'll title this, this is our estate planning hour. Because Wes Blanchard is in the studio with us at W.J. Blanchard Law.
All right, Wes, you didn't get the memo on the red shirts today?
I didn't. I missed it.
Do we look like we're about to have a Christmas card picture taken after the show? Or
I could see that, yeah.
Maybe we're in a doo-wop group.
Well, we can go ahead and get it out the way early this year.
Yeah, but Wes, take a picture. Just back up and take a picture of us when you get a chance. Yeah, hey, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
It's been a while. I know it's been a long month since last you were on. But I like the conversations we've been having setting this up because we're going to get to just a second with Wes Blanchard. who needs estate planning the most? And I want to stress most, because everyone, if you own anything or you have any heirs, you need an estate plan. So let's start ranking who needs it the most. We'll get into that with Wes in just a second. Let's go over to Hammond, talk to Chipper. Chipper, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
Hey, gents. Yeah, hi. So, a comment and a question. The comment, yeah, your earlier caller talking about, you had a lot of people, middle-class people, and they thought they kind of listened. They believed Trump when he said he was going to give them a tax cut. Now they're getting a big tax increase. It's kind of, I always say one thing with Trump, he's lying when his lips are moving.
We got it. Can we help you, sir?
Yeah. Is there anything other than voting him out of office, is there any way these people can get retribution? They believed him when he said he was giving them a tax cut and they didn't. My question
did
is,
did you have a 529 plan question?
Yeah. So, what is the limit on Louisiana? I think is a $4,800 limit for married couples. And what is that? Is that a tax credit? Is it a write off? What exactly is that?
Are you talking about 529 contributions?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I can hear who you're making the contributions for in the background, I believe.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can help her out then.
Yeah. As far as defined for Louisiana 529 college plan, basically it's defined as a state deduction or credit for contributions to the Louisiana 529 plan for up to $2,400 per beneficiary per year by an individual taxpayer and up to $4,800 per beneficiary per year by a married couple are deductible in computing Louisiana taxable income. So
okay.
$2,400 a person or $4,800 couple.
Right?
Doesn't affect the federal. It's on the state side of that. So saves you a little bit of tax dollars, perhaps.
Or there's some other options, though, Chipper. If you're looking for some ways to sock money away from college and you're trying to find some sort of tax advantage here, we just talked about on the show, was that Thursday, how taking money out of an IRA, you can get some money out of these guys for higher education expenses in some cases. And here's the thing
about the 529. It's dedicated money. It's got a, you can't, I see where people have money left over. Well, it's still got to be used for college. You can't just go and unwind that. Well, we didn't need as much money as we put away, or they didn't go to school. There's going to be tax repercussions because it has positive tax benefits. So there's a penalty on the back end, but we like, Roth is a good idea of using that money in the future for benefits. UGMA accounts, Uniform Gift to Minors Act. Now you can put money away. Now, is there tax deductibility? No, but it's another way of putting money away that can be used to for college. But when they become age of majority, the child then owns that account. There's different avenues going about it, but there's not some big, huge tax savings out there that you're like, oh, we're going to crush it. Then you're dealing from an investment management standpoint. We're dealing with small amounts of money early on to get to work. So I think you should be conservative. Does that help you, Chipper?
Yeah. That's good. So kind of a broader approach, not just don't put all your eggs in one basket, 529, spread it out a little bit.
Yep. I agree with that.
Yeah.
That's
it. But
hey, one thing James said earlier, he said he wants to come in under that percentage. I forget they were talking about the tax brackets and all
11
that.
Million, 11,400,000. I think I'd slide
under
that.
But you do understand it's a progressive tax, right? Like if you make a dollar over the amount, your whole income doesn't get taxed at that, just
right.
$1,
of course.
Right?
Yeah, of
that's
course.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, it is a progressive tax, but I don't know that I'll get to making over $10 million a year or something,
right.
But it is progressive, and they might hit us real hard one day for that few bucks over.
They were talking about the woman from the woman from New York who said she wanted a 70% tax rate. People go,
yeah, that's kind of what I was referring to.
They say, no, you're going to take seven out of every $10. Well, no, she's not going to take anything from $10. She's only going to take, if you're making $10 million, when you make over $10 million, she's going to take 70%. So people think that mean, you know, the 70% tax rate means everybody's getting it. No, only people that are making $10 million a year have to worry about that.
Yeah, and who really has income, taxable income of that? Because like Buffett, he doesn't have much income. It's just his wealth comes
capital
from
capital gain. Same thing with the Jeff
holdings
Bezos
and such like that. So all these situations are kind of different, but the overall theme to think about is there's going to be more taxes, and they may not adjust tax brackets. And we had a caller in the previous hours talking about where we thought we were going to get some tax savings, but some of our deductions were taken away and they ended up paying more. And yeah, all this is kind of moving, but, and if you're questioning or wondering why, and it's still, and I won't blame it on any branch, and we have divided Congress, Dems run the House, Republicans, the Senate, and there's a Republican president, and everybody's got their storylines, but it takes them all. All branches have to sign off on this. And I'm just telling you, some of us may like what's done and some of us may not. And I'm more about, can I reduce taxes? Can I build tax-free income? I want to work with the code, and we're going to stay on top of it, and we're going to help guide you to make some adjustments and tweaks as we go. So we're having a lunch and learn on tax planning in my office building, 16 seats available. Call the office, 504-832-9200 for that. And we've got one on February 25th coming up with Wes Blanchard on estate planning. I'm excited about that one.
Yeah, it should be a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be, it's our noon hour. It's a box lunch for these. So no fee, just come join us and learn. And it's going to start at noon. And I'm telling you, we're done and out of there by 1 o'clock as well. So,
all right. Now let's do the second welcome to Wes Blanchard. I'm glad you joined us on the second hour, because I think the second hour has a tendency to be a little more energetic because my Monster energy drink is kicked in at this point. I'm drinking one of these tall bad boys over here. Mm. I'm ready to start doing sprints on the break. But hey,
I didn't realize you were getting pumped up.
Yeah.
Monster.
Unleashing the beast, it says.
Right. Because there's a beast, and he did have a leash on him before I drank this. That's right. But this takes the leash off, and now he's unleashed. But hey, welcome back to the program, Wes Blanchard. First off, do you have any awesome stories since you were on the show a month ago? Because every once in a while, like maybe two or three times a year, you have someone walk in the door with just an incredible tale that you have to deal with.
No, nothing. I guess out of the ordinary. We certainly have picked up business for sure over the last few months, especially with regard to successions. Actually, so we've gotten a lot of that. We've been handling some contested issues and also just some issues where things are not contested, but maybe there's a large volume of heirs. So a little bit of everything coming through, and then also always the sort of open and shut successions. Hey, I got a house. I got a couple of bank accounts. My spouse passed away. What can we do to make this quick and painless? So we've been definitely running the gambit there, but nothing I would say out of the ordinary yet. But honestly, guys, it's just a matter of time. It really is. I mean, and that's what part of, you know, it's a part of this job that makes it so attractive, honestly, is you're not doing the same single thing every single day. You can get good at something doing repetition. You can get great at it, master it, but at what point do you become, you know, sort of indifferent to it? So I enjoy my job a lot.
What do you think is the balance of what happens at your office? How much of it is setting up an estate plan, like estate planning in advance, and how much of it is dealing with successions after the fact?
I'd say it's probably 70-30 in establishing the plan, which is a good way to start, especially if we're planning to avoid the succession. But look, the succession work that we do, and it's what we try to explain to everybody that we speak with about the issue, is that oftentimes folks don't do successions as part of their core service. That's what we do. We do successions and we do estates. Oftentimes you'll go to a firm that has a multitude of different things that they do, and they take your succession and say, hey, we're going to charge, you know, $2,000 for it. And it's a lot to you, but ultimately it doesn't really ring the bell when it comes to paying the bills. So, you know, that gets prioritized accordingly. So that's the kind of thing we like to stress is, look, this is what we do. We prioritize it because it's a major core component of the business. So that's one of the things that I think, you know, our firm offers that really, you don't see very many other places.
Yeah, that was something you talked about last month, right? Is so many people have a lawyer that handles all this other stuff, and they just assume he can handle the estate planning part as well.
That's it.
A little bit of a mess. All right, now I'm looking forward to the list that we're making out here, and we're also going to talk about some of the stuff you're covering at the Lunch and Learn event coming up February 25th. But the list that we're going to go through, and look, this was my attempt at trying to understand what Wes has been bringing to the table for a few years here now. And I made an attempt to rank who needs estate planning the most. Because it doesn't help anybody if you say who needs an estate plan. You're like, anyone, everyone. If you own anything, you need an estate plan. All right, well, let's start ranking the severity and the necessity of an estate plan coming up. But if you have a financial or estate planning situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you can call Gregory. You can call Wes Blanchard right now. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Always gonna fly away, just because you know you can. Never gonna learn, there's no such places, and never land. You won't understand and grow up. Happy Saturday. How you doing? Welcome. This is Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks, your wallet's favorite show. I am your wallet's favorite co-host, and we have in studio Wes Blanchard, probably your wallet's favorite estate planning attorney, if your wallet's been paying attention. And we're going to go over who needs estate planning the most. The whole purpose of this show is just to make you better with your money. And you can either sit back and enjoy the ride and soak in the education, or if you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, you can tap into the expertise of the guys across the table from me. 504-260-0995. Now, I'm going to be honest. The idea, the kernel for this next topic was born out of the Gregory Ricks Live event that is going to be shared with Wes Blanchard over here. That's the Lunch and Learn event that's coming up on February 25th. And Wes and Gregory are going to host, you know, about 16 or so people and talk about...
Not or so. 16 is the max.
16 or less.
Or less. Not or more.
That's a good point. Yeah. Up to 16 people. Teach you the basics of estate planning, and if you have an estate planning issue, you can just raise your hand and ask these guys your question in person. Yeah.
Small group.
Sounds kind of nice here. But when we're setting this up, I'm like, all right, well, who do we need to get the word out to? Who needs to come to this event? And really the question I'm asking is who needs estate planning the most? And I don't think we've ever had to rank them before. Because what I want to come and do is get these people the message that help is on the way and help can be had. And how much does it cost to go to the Lunch and Learn, Gregory Ricks?
Zero.
So you can't beat that. So this was my attempt, and it started off really bad because I threw out what I thought were the top two people, and then Wes in like 4 seconds shot it down. Because the number one person who absolutely needs estate planning the most and needs it right now and needs to don't walk, run to the nearest estate planning attorney is people who are terminally ill. Then, yeah, of course, you need estate planning the most. You see that people come in, they get the terminal notification, then they just call your office.
That does happen, and sometimes it is the first time they've gotten the plan together, and a lot of times that's what triggers the review period. And it maybe have been 15, 20 years since they looked at it. Definitely things usually have changed. Grandchildren, maybe some children have moved on. Maybe just relationships have changed. Usually when you review a will that's that old, typically, there's going to be some changes made. But yes, when you have some sort of terminal issue the terminal thing is definitely true, but really a health scare triggers it all the time, too. You know, a fall or, you had a faint that you really just weren't expecting. All of a sudden, you know, you can't cut the grass the way you used to. You cut the grass last summer the normal way you've been cutting it for the last 25 years, and this summer everything looked the same. Lord knows the grass is still just as high, and you go out there and there you are, and you know, all of a sudden you don't feel great. Those are things that we've seen before. But yes, so that's your sort of obvious situation, right? Who needs it the most? Well, someone who's going to face the bell the quickest, right? And that's kind of the most obvious one. But really, it shouldn't take that long. Observe those people around you. Observe your family. Observe your friends. See if someone in their life has had that. And just get out ahead of it. You know, that's what we try to preach. We're not unaware that estate planning is one of the easier things to procrastinate in life, right? Because you have to face mortality when you do it. But it also is just something that, well, I'll get to it when I get to it. No one plans to have to use it the next day. So those are the things I always like to say, strike when the iron's hot. I'm here. It's really up to you. But, you know, that's again, when it's on your mind, take care of it as quickly as possible. Try to make it a quick turnaround for everyone, 1-2 weeks at a time.
You know, it's a little stab there when you say, God, it's so obvious because I missed it. It's obviously they're the ones who need it the most because I missed it. But my guess, actually, we have it ranked at number 2 on the list. This was my first guess, and that's people with special needs children, or if you're a guardian of anyone with special needs and your assets are going to be taking care of them. That's who I had put at the top of the list. And this is one of those situations where that's kind of obvious too, right?
Well, yeah, it's sort of, again, it's all tied to a health concern, you know, a known health concern, a known health risk. And we've talked about this before, but the special needs trusts are designed to assure that the beneficiary can still inherit property while maintaining the government benefits that he or she is going to receive. And just to sort of give a brief explanation of why that's important is when a beneficiary is receiving government benefits due to disability, an inheritance can knock that down a bit. You know, it might cause if a sum of money becomes available to that beneficiary through an inheritance, that needs to be disclosed. And upon that disclosure, the government's going to do one of two things. It's going to ask you to you know, start paying your own bills, or it's just going to stop paying yours and let you use the money until you qualify back. But in essence, it's really the same result. So you need to be sure that if you have that as part of your family, that situation is going to play out as part of your family. You need to be sure that you're protecting that beneficiary to assure that his or her life is not disrupted or interrupted any more than it needs to be when you or your loved one passes away. I mean, it's all about the financial part. It's the only thing that you can help out with at that point.
All right. So going through the list here, people who really need estate planning the most should probably go to your event on February 25th. Number one, the terminally ill or people with chronic health issues. Number two, if you have special needs kids or you're a guardian of anyone with special needs. And then number three, monetarily speaking, probably has the most to lose, but sort of morally, ethically speaking, they got dropped down to third on the list. And those are people who are staring down the estate tax. If you have the estate tax hanging over your head like that rain cloud that follows Ziggy around in the calendar sometimes, those guys are put at number three.
Right. And you're right. You know, the reason they're there at that point at the list is because they have a money problem, not a health problem. And obviously that's, you know, more... the health is the more important issue. But when you're staring at an estate tax, you know, especially if you're just near the threshold, oftentimes you can put a plan in place that gets you underneath it for quite a while. Now, if you're well over it, it might also take quite a while to assure that you come in under. You know, if we're starting to spend down and gift and do things to reduce the size of your estate to be sure that you don't incur any estate tax, that can also be a process. But if you're kind of on the brink heading towards it, really a couple of maneuvers can get you, can buy you quite a few years, if not solve the problem altogether. It really, I guess, just depends on your financial trajectory. If you're going to continue to bring in loads of money, you know, that's really going to dictate how your plan is going to be set up.
Yeah, and didn't we talk about this with the Tom Vincent scenario? That's part of what got him in sort of the weird legal issues that marred the last couple of years of his life. It looked like that was some estate planning stuff going on with the trust and the shares, and it was irrevocable and couldn't be changed, and then lawsuits, and that was probably born out of dealing with the estate tax?
It absolutely was, and if you, I guess, take a step back and think about the time that he bought the team and then the increase in value over that time, combine that with the rates, the estate tax rates that were in place during that time period, they were significantly lower. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars, 600, I think 800. I'm not a historian on what the rates were, but I know at some point in time they were as low as 650, 800, that kind of thing. And so when you have an asset that appreciates that quickly, the way an NFL franchise would. I mean, there's only 32 available in the entire nation. And that is, you know, despite all the problems that they've been having, with regard to the concussion issues, that is the fastest growing sports franchise. You know, the NBA is doing well internationally, but the NFL, you just can't beat it. I mean, you just can't beat it. So I guess getting back on track here is, yeah, if you're going to start making an estate plan to get you under the threshold, there's still no guarantee that it ultimately works out the way you want. You know, he put a safeguard in place very early. He's got very good advice. Obviously, he's a very intelligent man. But in essence, his life changed, and he couldn't. He was kind of barred from making the change that he wanted, and he had to negotiate his way out of it to get what he wanted to happen, actually go through. You know, not certainly something we want to see anyone go through, nevertheless someone who's done so much for this city, but at least he had a plan in place.
Yeah, and we also see people that are near that estate tax threshold. They really lean on trust and they start shoving things in these irrevocable trusts and whatnot. Right. And how does that work to get under the estate tax?
So if you set up an irrevocable trust and you're nothing more than an income beneficiary, meaning the principal that you place into the trust, let's just call it, let's say it's stock. You place, you know, 1,000 shares of ABC stock into this irrevocable trust, and it's made for the benefit of your grandchild. Now, you are permitted to still take the income off of that for the remainder of your life, but when you place that stock into the trust, that's the principal that's placed into it. And by making it irrevocable, you've severed that stock from your estate, thereby reducing it dollar for dollar from what it would have otherwise been considered as part of your estate.
All right, this is Wes Blanchard. He is the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Rickson Associates. So if you have a financial or estate planning question, 504-260-0995. Coming up, we're going to continue with the list on who needs estate planning the most. And if your family isn't perfect, we have some advice for you next. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life. Live Financial Talk News Radio. Yeah, we talk about the news. I like to talk about things going green, more green. You know, some of these hotels I go to have the little stickers that they're going green. And it, really what they're about is saving money. So am I on the green thing. I want more green. I want more money, greenbacks, you know, dollars.
Sounds like a better deal.
It sounds like a better deal.
It sounds kind of new.
It's old, but it's new.
So it's a new green deal? Is that what you got?
But it's kind of part of the old, too. We like saving
money. I like the sound of that.
They don't want to wash the towels or sheets, so hang them up. And so now, because I don't like throwing towels on the floor. I don't do that at my house. But if you hang them up at the hotel, they're not changing them out. So got to throw them on the floor. But that's not helping them with their green. Mm-hmm. But I'm wanting help with my green. So that's what Live Financial Talk Radio is about on Saturdays from 10 to 1, is doing better with your money, saving. How can we save taxes? That adds to our green, right? We have Wes Blanchard here. Can you help us with some of our green?
Absolutely.
Look, I've got, and I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, James Parker.
Hey.
Wes Blanchard, estate planning attorney. He's a member of our Total Wealth Authority, and we have several members of that to help you. We've got a lunch and learn on estate planning coming up. Oh, let's see. It's February 25th, yep. A Monday at noon, from noon to one. So you're going to need to RSVP by calling the office to attend that. 16 seats is it. It's going to be a box lunch and learn some stuff about estate planning. Yeah, you know, I'm going to have something to say there, so I'll have a little bonus section at the end that will tie in, and it'd be kind of, where does financial investing and planning tie in with estate planning? I'll kind of tie a bow in it, but I think it's going to be really good. 504-832-9200 to sign up for that, because it's 16 seats, so you know we're going to fill it up.
All right, you want to
Norma
interrupt the list and go to the text questions?
Yes.
All right. We'll get back to the list on who needs to stay playing the most.
You know, tell when the phones are going to light up here. And if you're wanting to call, 504-260-0995 to join the conversation. We've got people here using the app to text and email us as well. And you can go to your app store, type in Winning at Life. Norma. Covington. She's interested in setting up an LLC to hold rental and land properties. She states, I was wanting to include my 12-year-old as a non-managing member and have the rents paid to her. Is this a good idea as far as taxes? I don't know if we can help her so much on taxes, but we'll ask Wes his thoughts. And what about the transfer of property to her upon our deaths? Boy, that's a complicated one. A lot of parts there. I like the idea, Wes, of setting up those properties and entities.
Yes. So that's one thing we do get a lot of questions about, especially for folks who do real estate investing. A lot of folks will have one sort of umbrella LLC to hold all their rentals. It's my opinion, it's worth it to pay the extra filing fee to get a separate LLC for each rental. Most of the time when you speak with investors who are holding rental property, their main concern is always, well, what happens if one of my tenants wants to sue because, you know, he or she slips and falls, or there's a fire, or whatever it may be, something that exposes them. And so the first answer to that is, well, insurance. You should always have insurance. But assuming then that your insurance is inadequate, there's a layer of protection that's provided by the LLC. Rather than having 4, 5, 6 properties contained in one LLC, contain it to one property. And what that does is it limits the exposure for that particular LLC, so that if they're not all interconnected, the only asset that can be seized over and above your insurance is that one property. So that's for me why I tend to lean towards compartmentalizing that. Now, if you're going to do that, you have to understand, obviously, more accounting is going to come along with that. That means more bank accounts. That means more ledgers. That means more expenses. Those types of things are going to come up. But if you're really and truly worried about that exposure, then that's the best solution available for you. Particularly if we're not talking about a duplex, maybe we're talking about a 10-plex. Maybe we're talking about an apartment building.
So that would be one entity, because you can't divide those units up. Might have 20 units
correct
in it.
Exactly. And so you insulate your exposure, and you keep those other properties that you're holding from being within reach of any sort of creditor or lawsuit.
Let's say I have 8 rental properties and 5 of them are individual houses and the other 3 are, you know, multi-units. And I've set up each of those. Can I also put that under a holding company, or does that reapply the exposure?
Well, I don't think that would reapply the exposure. If you think it through, the LLC, I guess theoretically, is owned by one parent holding company, but that's where your documents come into play. So if your tenant documents need to show that, hey, ABC LLC is the owner of this property, that's got to be of record. And that's who the tenant is leasing or renting the property from. Everything's going to be run through that one particular LLC. And then if that LLC is owned by someone else, well,
yeah, it's no different than you owning the LLCs individually,
correct.
But you could hold only on the holding company and it works up to that way. What about her question about a minor child being a non-managing member of an LLC?
You know, my inclination, I don't have the answer to that specific question without sort of diving into it. I don't think it'll take me long to figure out what the answer is, but my inclination is that he or she would need to be the age of majority in order to sort of serve any sort of role there.
Right, because then they're going to have paperwork because somebody else is having to decide
exactly.
for them because they're a minor. Now, and they're asking about taxes, and I think they're trying to probably get some cash flow at the child's tax bracket. But here's my thing is you could hire the kid to do some work all the way through college. We've got college, you know, the triplets work for the company throughout the year, and they're getting income, and their income they're getting pays their bills, and guess what? They're lower tax brackets than I am, so I kind of how that works.
Yeah, then, this was Cheryl?
No, this is Norma. We're still on
Norma's
question from Covington, and then about transfer of property upon her death. Well, that would be the structuring of the entities and the holding company, and I guess that's where that would more sort out if members moved on or sold out their interest and such as that. Right, Wes?
Yes.
Okay. So I think we handled that pretty good. Let's see. We've got a state sale here. Cheryl asks, my brother and I inherited my parents' home and sold it at the end of 2018. We received $45,000 each from the sale. We did not have an appraisal done on the property, but Zillow had it at approximately $118,000. Will we have to pay taxes on the sale? So they basically sold it for $90,000, and Zillow said it's worth $118,000. But here's the question I'm missing here. Inherited it from my parents and sold it. Did they inherit it and made a quick sale on it, or was it inherited earlier? And what was the value? It's a value at death.
That's it.
Is the concern here. When they inherited it, when that death occurred, what was the value?
Right. So just to get a little more specific, what Gregory's alluding to is that your tax situation is, generally speaking, a good one. You inherit property, and when you inherit that property, that inheritance is tax-free. However, if you inherit property that then appreciates, you are responsible for the difference. So in other words, if you inherited the property and at the time that you inherited it was worth $100,000, when you sold the property for $130,000, that $30,000 is taxable, that $30,000 difference. Now, if you inherited it and sold it within a matter of weeks, there's not going to be any appreciable gain there because you're inherited, your time frame is so close that it's very, very unlikely that anyone would contest whether there was a high or a large increase in value at that point. So that's really your main concern is how long did you hold it? Did you hold it a few years? And it probably appreciated. The market's been going up.
And we're not that far back in time. You can get an appraisal looked at.
Yes.
And get to that number. And looks like you're in good shape. Just overview from that.
All right. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, or an estate planning question, we got Wes Blanchard in studio. He's the estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth Authority of Gregory Ricks and Associates. And of course, Gregory's here, Hall of Fame financial advisor. 504-260-0995. Or you can give us a call or text from the Winning It Life app. I'm James Parker. We're Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. This whiskey's supposed to drown the memory.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, live financial talk radio, financial news talk radio as well. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. We have Wes Blanchard in studio. The phone number to join the conversation is 504-260-0995. We're going to move fast here in this last 10 minutes of this hour.
All right, Mary, Bay St. Louis, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Mary?
Hello, yes, I'm glad to be on your show. Thank you. Yes, I just have a couple of questions. I'm 72 years old, and I don't have any children, but I do have a niece I'd like to leave my house to. It's paid for. And that's about really all I have to give her. And I would like to know what kind of problem I'm going to have doing this. I mean, what do I have to do? I know I have to go to an attorney, an estate attorney, but what else do I have to do?
Not much, Mary. It sounds like you're in a good spot. Really, just placing that in a will is going to get you where you want to go. Now, I think whether you're a Mississippi or a Louisiana resident, you're going to need a will because you're sort of branching outside of the normal, the normal sort of flow chart, if you will, as I call it. You know, if you don't have a will, it's likely it's not going to wind up in the hands of your niece. So, just getting a simple will put in place is gonna do the job. I would think of an executor. I don't know how old your niece is. Is she a minor or how old is she?
Oh, no, she's about 50 years old.
Okay. So, yeah, she's in a good spot, too. So perhaps she could even be named as the executrix in your will, yes. Which would kind of make it as easy as possible for her. She can grab the will, go find a good estate planning attorney or successions or probate attorney out in yes. Mississippi.
So but I still have to do the will. Is it going to be a lot of trouble for her? Is she going to have to spend a lot of money on this?
No, not at all. Not at all. A simple will is really not going to set you back very much, and I think it's a worthwhile endeavor. I really don't think you'll be... you'll probably be pleasantly surprised with how straightforward it is, Mary.
Well, look, I have one more question. I'm in good health right now, but if I would become ill, I don't want, if I would go in a home, I would think the home would take my house. Is that how it goes?
They will not take your house. What they may do is place a lien for any unpaid services. So
we're,
you know,
speaking of Medicaid.
Well, and that
possibly right here.
Also, a private nursing home as well. If you go in, they may allow you to stay if you run out of liquid cash in exchange for a lien on the home. And at that time, what would happen when your niece inherited is she would inherit subject to that lien. So she can either pay it off or she can assume it.
No, that won't be good, honey. Could I just give her the house before I die? I mean,
I knew that was coming.
I knew right.
This was coming, that question.
You can do that, but this is kind of what we were kicking around here in the last segment. Is there's a very tax beneficial event that occurs when someone inherits property. They get a step up in basis. So if your home, for instance, Mary, are you familiar with that term, a step up in basis?
No, not that one. I've been through a little bit of this before because my sister just died a few years ago, and her daughter was the executor of that will, you see. So she knows a little bit about it, a lot about
it. So just let me explain to you why the step up in basis is so important. And really, and again, remember, it only comes through inheritance. If you bought that property for, let's say, $50,000 20 years ago, and now it's worth $100,000, well, when your niece inherits it, she will inherit it as if it's worth $100,000. That will be her tax baseline, meaning if she sells the property for $110,000, she would only be taxed on that $10,000 gain. Now, in your situation, what you're requesting or at least considering is donating her that property. In that circumstance, she would actually take that donation with the original $50,000 basis. So when she sold for $110,000, now she would be taxed on $60,000. So it's a massive tax break just for the inheritance. Now, you have to ask yourself whether it would be worth the headache for a potential lien that would go or be placed by a nursing home. Remember, it's still a potential lien. It's not anything that's definite at this point. So those are the things you'd have to weigh and definitely discuss with the attorney when he's drawing it up.
Suppose she doesn't want to sell it. Can she keep? I mean, would she still have to pay something? I mean, if she's keeping the house?
Yes, because the lien would be placed on the home in exchange for you remaining in the nursing home. And at that point, you know, she would probably enter into an agreement to start paying down that lien. And sometimes that lien can be negotiated down by, you know, up to 30 percentage points, sometimes higher, sometimes less. It really just depends. You know, I would get an attorney at that point, too, to see how much the nursing home would be willing to relieve.
Even if the home is hers in her name, are they still going to put a lien on the house?
There's two different scenarios, Miss Mary. So if you donate her the property and you're okay giving up that tax windfall through the step-up basis, then no, that's not going to be an issue. But if you allow the inheritance of the home and there's a lien placed on it while you're alive for in exchange for services rendered at that nursing home, then she would inherit that subject to the lien.
But if I don't go in a home, and I just die, what happens then? I mean, she shouldn't. I don't want to go home, and I don't want her to have that lien on the house.
Right, and that's kind of what I was getting at earlier in weighing your decision, is if you don't want to be in a home, if you don't anticipate being in a home, then donating her the property and giving up that tax break is probably not the decision you want to make. You want to go with a normal, everyday will that'll get the job done.
But if she's – let me just quick this. Thank you for the call, Mary. Now let's jump right and shorten this up. If she's wanting her niece to have that home to live in and the niece is not ever planning to sell the home, it doesn't matter about the step up.
Correct. I mean, yes, theoretically.
See, so that's one way. If she's worried about protecting her and she can have that home to live in – then she's protecting that. No lien would be put against it.
It's true.
And we don't know how life's going to play out, so she's just got to look at which way do they want to go and what's the ramifications.
The niece would definitely be hamstrung in that circumstance as far as needing to stay in that home to avoid that massive tax.
Well, massive tax. She'll be taxed on the, basically all the gain basis that was created, assuming house is worth $100,000 and she paid $30,000 for it 30 years ago. It's a $70,000 taxable gain when she would sell it,
right,
versus the step up could possibly
eliminate it. Yeah.
None there. Okay, what do we have to clean up here? Mark in Ponchatoula, I know you've got a windfall elimination provision. We're going to ask you to hold on through the break, which is going to be about 10 minutes, or ring us back. We've got to wrap up this hour with Wes Blanchard.
Yeah, and I wanted to go through the last two items on the list over here of who needs estate planning the most. And we tried to rank the necessity, the urgency of getting an estate plan. And the top three were people who are terminally ill. Number two, if you have a special needs child. Number three, if you're facing the estate tax. But number four, I didn't mean to be this vague, but it probably should be this vague. If your family isn't perfect, you know, if someone's not getting along now, they're certainly not going to get along when you pass and they're fighting over money. But we also see families that did get along all of a sudden turn into a pack of wolves on each other when there's a big pile of money on the table.
Correct. And that's the difference between the rights and responsibilities that can be laid out in the will versus those same rights and responsibilities being made available to all parties through the legislative statutes that provide, you know, what happens to your estate when you don't have a will. In that instance, you know, it could wind up being a free for all, and not as far as the inheritance shares, but who can come in and play the role of an administrator, things like that. Shouldn't really be left up to a whim or to a first to file kind of situation. What you want is to have that plan put in place to do your best to reduce any sort of tension that might be there. It might be an inevitable or unavoidable situation, but nonetheless, you can at least mitigate the amount of dispute that happens by just simply getting a will together.
And it's something I've learned from both of you guys. You've told me these stories is, yeah, you probably get along great with your kids. You probably get along great with your grandkids. But how well do you know all of their spouses? How many of these issues come up from the spouse of an heir? And that's just really such an unpredictable wild card. I've noticed y'all have a bunch of stories on that's where problems come from.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what we see a lot. The blended family situation, it's not that this it is always going to produce an issue or a level of distrust, but almost all the time folks come in and they say, look, we just want to keep our inheritance and our family. And it's very typical. It's very normal.
All right. So Wes Blanchard is going to be part of our Lunch and Learn that's coming up on February 25th. That is an estate planning event. It's just a small little luncheon where you can get together, meet Gregory, meet Wes Blanchard, and get some of your questions answered and learn some of the basics of estate planning. We also have a Lunch and Learn coming up February 19th that has to do with taxes. And then the big Wine, Wisdom, and Food experience is March 19th. All of these can be found at gregoryricks.com. You can find more info on the Winning at Life app, or you can call the office 504-832-9200 to get in touch with Wes, wjblanchardlaw.com. And I guess we'll see you again in about a month.
Yeah, sounds great.
All right. Thank you very much for your time, Wes.
Of course.
Go have a good one. Wes Blanchard, estate planning attorney of the Total Wealth and Authority. When we return, more financial goodness is on the way. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, call the show, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hey there. Welcome. For those that are sticking with us another hour and those that are joining, this is Winning at Life, live financial news talk radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Yes, we do this every Saturday. Next hour, you can join the conversation. We're going to talk about a lot of topics. It's caller driven. You know, we've had discussions already this morning about estate planning, you know, how to handle entities, Social Security questions, 401k.
529 plan?
Yeah, 529 plans. And then we talked about Roth and IRA rules this morning. So we can continue those type of discussions. To join the conversation, the phone number is 504-504-260-0995. You can also reach out to us through the Winning at Life app. So go to your app store, type in Winning at Life, free download. You can text us, email us, call the show, listen to us on the stream. The app will help you with that as well. And info@gregoryricks.com if you want to email a question also.
Tell them about the free book. I know they want to hear what I have to say, but they want the free stuff
first. We have a lot of stuff to cover. But one of the things is, we had to get 200 more books this week. So they actually came out a little quicker. So we had to increase our inventory. We gave out the books that we had. I was surprised at the response. But what I'm trying to do is get the conversation started, the thinking started, you know, in this world where debt's going up, personal, government, country, and which means obligations are going up. We're probably going to pay more taxes in the future. But if you can carve out money and not have to pay income tax on it in retirement. And retirement I define as options, that part in your life where you don't want to have to go to that day job anymore and you want to have passive income coming in. How about not all of it being taxed? So, you know, it's a book. I've written the foreword on it, and it talks about that type of thinking. So if you'd like a free copy, and it's a book, I'm going to have to mail you a book, and that's what we'll do. No obligation or anything. What you simply have to do is request it. You can call my office, 504-832-9200, request the book. You can email info@gregoryricks.com. You can go to the website and request a book. If you just say, hey, my email, send me the book. Well, then we're going to have to email you, get your address and a little bit more information, but you can provide what you need for us to send it out. We will reach out to you and confirm so that we can get the book out to you, and it, you know, should come in a few days if you request that. So take advantage of that and start planning some, you know, multiple streams of income. Some of your streams should be tax-free. So take advantage of what we're doing with this book offering.
Recently we opened a new office location on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain, a nice little town called Mandeville. It's been open less than a month. This is new. We need to keep mentioning this. So this is a little convenience for people, obviously, on the north shore of Lake Pontchartrain. But if you're from, like, southwest Mississippi, this could be the difference here. If you're from, like, Macomb, or we get calls from Tylertown and Columbia sometimes, you know, it's an hour closer.
Over the years, my firm's become a destination. People travel and drive here to sit down and speak with us, but bringing an office out adds to that reach and convenience to those that, hey, I don't want to drive to New Orleans. I don't want to drive to Metro. Fine. We have a North Shore office that extends that reach, and we've got one coming here soon in the Gulfport-Biloxi area as well, which will extend our reach.
Yeah, super convenient too, right off I-10. All right, so 504-260-0995 if you want to be part of the show. You can get your question answered by a Hall of Fame financial advisor, just like Jason in New Orleans. Jason, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, sir?
I had a question about your maximum annual gift tax, gift amount and tax on it. It's my understanding right now it's somewhere around $14,000 per person you can get tax-free.
I have an updated number for you. 2019, okay. It is $15,000.
Okay. So,
nice new number.
Yeah. I also read that you could gift more than that, but it goes against your lifetime exemption for your estate.
Yes. Yeah, so you can go ahead and spend that ahead of time, and people that have large assets can do that.
So, an example, if my father was to gift me, say, $2 million, that would go against his, I think the lifetime exemption now is, what, $15 million or something like that?
Yeah, it's $11,400,000.
Okay, so if he gifted me $2 million, that would be $2 million less that he could not pay inheritance tax on later.
Yeah, so he's shaving down his exempt status by going ahead and giving that away. Absolutely.
The main question I have about that is, do I have to pay taxes on that $2 million?
Do I get the step-up basis? Yeah, step-up basis kind of lost me. It's not real property he's giving you. Is he giving you a $200,000, I mean, a $2 million house or $2 million in straight cash?
Property.
Okay, here's the thing on this of gifting. It doesn't forgive taxes that aren't paid that are owed. So you're probably inheriting some tax liability there. For example, if he gifted you stock, which is real property as well, and the stock was bought at $30 a share and now it's at $100 and he's gifted that to you, when you sell that stock, you're going to be taxed on that gain because he gifted it to you while living. This isn't something you inherited after death and receiving a step up basis. So he can gift you and he can gift you tax liability. You're not having to pay taxes when you get it, but when you sell, you will have to. Now, with that in mind, well, I just gave you some tax guidance. I am not a CPA. We have one that's a part of our Total Wealth Authority, and I would defer to your tax professional also.
That help, Jason?
Yes, sir. So you do not get the step-up basis on a gift, correct?
No.
Sounds like you understand it.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
We're going to jump to a break. We've got Jason, thank you for that call. We've got John and Ward and the rest of you. If you want to get in line, 504-260-0995.
Yeah, and you can also give us a call or text from the Winning at Life app. I have them on the front screen, so you're just a couple of thumb pushes away. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I've been losing sleep, dreaming
about the things that we could be. Baby, welcome back. I've been love doing this show on Saturdays. We do a weeknight show. You could find out more about that through our Winning at Life app. And we're on for longer than this. We've been on for a couple of hours. And once again, you can find out more about that through the Winning at Life app. So I love doing this live financial news talk radio show. But James and I have been doing this for, June will be 9 years.
4 months away from 9 years.
Yeah, it's just something just like flew by like that.
Well, for you.
Well, okay. 504-260-0995 to join the conversation. I'm Gregory Ricks, your host. My background is, I'm a fiduciary, financial advisor, money manager. It's kind of what I do in my day job, but we like giving guidance, help, and just talking about money, growing the green. I like the green movement, meaning we're going to grow our money.
Why don't you say you're in the Hall of Fame? You're a Hall of Fame financial advisor.
Yeah, well, clarification, it's Advisors Excel has a Hall of Fame, and I was inducted into that Hall of Fame a couple years ago. Kind of a pretty neat, exclusive group of us that have reached that notoriety.
It's weird, though. Is there something about being in a Hall of Fame? Because, like, when Troy Aikman's on TV, he doesn't say, I'm a Hall of Fame quarterback. He makes the guy next to him say, I'm a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Yeah, I don't never bring it up or anything.
Does it feel like you're bragging
or something?
And I've
got the big old bronze plaque that's hanging in that building in Kansas. I've got a copy of it, but I'm not like, where do I put that up at or whatever? So I do have a copy, exact copy of that big bronze deal.
I would probably carry it around like a notebook if it was me.
Okay.
All right, if you need some financial assistance, 504-260-0995. You want to do Mark?
Yeah, Mark was on hold earlier and had to break away, so we've got Mark from Ponchatoula.
You're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Mark?
Hello. Drawing teacher's retirement, and 6 years ago I started drawing Social Security, but of course with Social Security I was subject to that windfall elimination thing, so my Social Security was reduced. Now I understand that if you have 20 years of substantial earnings, your Social Security won't be reduced. And
it's 30.
30 years?
30 years or more of substantial earnings under Social Security. Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was 20. Then I don't have any chance of eliminating the windfall elimination.
No. a decade short on that. Sorry for the bad news on that.
All right. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for calling back. Right, thanks for listening to Winning at Life and calling our Green Money Hotline.
It's not always good news. Sorry about that, Mark. John in Mobile. You're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, John?
Okay, I'm going to try to make this as simple as possible. 5 or 6 years ago, my mother passed away and left me an account with a well-known firm. And the money manager did a nice job with the account. I knew nothing about it. I felt like if he took care of my mother and made her money, he could do the same for me. He would call me, and it always seemed he would call me on Fridays at the end of the month, suggesting maybe we ought to move one group of money to another group and so on and so forth. And he hit a home run for me. He asked me to take $10,000 worth of stock and move it into another company. And after about 10 months, it just blew up. And it made me about $30,000 on that one investment. Well, that happened in 2018. And, you know, I know I'm going to have to pay tax on that money that I made off that account. But since then, he talked me into reinvesting in that same stock, which fell about $40 a share. And now I'm underwater about $8,000. So unless I sell that stock and take the loss, I'm going to be hurting tax-wise. Am I right or wrong?
Well, if you're negative in it, meaning you're down in your position, do you have gains that will offset that? You know, that might be something that you're carrying forward if you don't have gains to offset that tax loss that you're now looking at.
I look every day to see what's going on, and, you know, I'm still $6,000 or $7,000 down in that one particular asset. And, you know, it maybe comes back, maybe it doesn't. But, you know, with tax season here, when I go to my tax man, I've got to tell him, look, you know, we made this hit, and I'm responsible for the taxes. What about this money that I'm down? I mean, I am down, but it could come back tomorrow, I guess. So people tell me that until you sell, you don't have a gain or a loss.
Right. It's unrealized loss or gains as long as you're holding the position. So that, you know, if you're still holding it, that's not a discussion with your tax guy for this year, because you're still holding it. You're going to be talking to him about the history of 2018 on gains or losses that you realized. And that realized is by you having sold the position and profiting or losing. So what you're holding on now is kind of a decision about now. And I always say, you know, when you're investing, it's always about the decisions, you know, going forward every day. As a money manager, it's throughout the day, everything that we're doing, it's always about the decisions. What's going on in the moment? What's our views? How's that performance? Is it something we're going to stay with? Or, you know, and for it to go down 40%, you have quite a bit of tolerance, or your money manager had pretty good bit of tolerance for you there. That's like,
he had made some advice that he thought that there was going to be some breakthrough in this. It's a drug company, and it's scheduled to come out in May or June. He said, we got to hold at least until then to find out what happens.
Yeah, well, makes sense from that standpoint. But there's so many variables that play into drug makers and all. It can be feast or famine. I learned that a long time ago in the stock deal.
It seems so exciting, though, because he struck gold on a previous piece of advice. You kind of get the sense that he really knows what's going to happen in the future, and he may not keep striking gold.
That's true. And it's, you know, he's like a one-hit wonder right now.
Oh, John. All right.
Well, hopefully he comes through for you on this. And
all right, guys. Positive. Thanks for the advice.
Hey, real quick, John, we get a ton of callers from Mobile, and when you look at how our audience is spread out, it's really disproportionate how many calls we get from Mobile. Is something going on there we don't know about? Do y'all not have any financial advisors in that town? What's going on?
I got too many of them. That's the problem.
Well, listen to that.
They're beating the doors down trying to get you.
Interesting. All right. Thanks, John. I'll keep that in mind.
Thanks for listening.
You ever noticed that? Because there's two towns that keep showing up on our radar, Brandon, Mississippi, and Mobile, Alabama. Yeah. Just tons. For considering
well,
the
that just shows what our reach is. And you know, we've had callers from Florida as well, into the panhandle as well, but on the stream and connect with our Winning at Life app. But we have a lot of people listen across the country on the stream, but we're also on Facebook Live. You can go like us on Facebook. My personal page is Gregory Ricks, but we've got the Winning at Life page on Facebook, my firm page, Women Winning at Life as well. But you can, on Winning at Life, we're streaming on Facebook Live. Periscope was a connection there. If you use Periscope, it's a streaming platform.
Yeah,
but it's at Gregory Ricks. It's kind of, you know, the Twitter connection there. And we've got stuff on YouTube. Where else?
We're on YouTube, Instagram, Periscope, Facebook Live, most of them.
Does Pinterest count on that as well?
We are on Pinterest, but I don't do a whole lot on Pinterest.
I don't know so much about that either.
We're on Podomatic. We're on iTunes. I just applied for Spotify this week, so we may be on there pretty soon. We're
awesome.
The iHeartRadio app. We're on the SuperTalk app. I'm digging through your trash can after the show. Ward in Houma, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. What can we do for you, Ward?
Yeah, mine is a question is about a house and inheritance. I have three children from my first marriage, and that house that I was in at that time, she got, and then I bought another house, and then I got remarried. Now, for my wife now to inherit some of the house, her name's not on the property. Do I need to have a will, or do I need to put her name on the property?
It might be some of both. Hey, look, you've got a first marriage. You've got kids from a first marriage. Your second marriage, and she's not on the property, but
no,
she
I
does
got the property when I was unmarried. So.
Right. She does have some community property rights, but I think it's also where a will is important. Tell me, what's the age range of the three kids?
My three, I have two 22-year-olds and a 16-year-old. But one of my 22-year-olds was adopted. And at 18, she went to find her real father, and I haven't seen her in 4 years.
But she's adopted, so it's one of your kids as well. Yeah, I think you ought to call Wes Blanchard and have a discussion. He's a member of our Total Wealth Authority. He was on the previous hour because this is complication. And if you're wanting to take care of the current wife, there's probably a little work you need to do.
Are you thinking forced heirship? Is that where your head's at, Gregory? 504-260-0995. Thank you, Ward. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. I'll be your smooth ride at
late night. You're about to ride. This is Winning at Life. Yeah, this show's about winning with your money. We keep score through life. Accumulate more. Get that house. Get them gold bars for the basement. Get that 401k up. Get some tax-free streams of income into the mix. That's winning. Keeping some of that money from Uncle Sam is winning and adding to the green movement we're a part of, growing our green, our money. I'm Gregory Ricks along with James Parker. We're bringing you this show every Saturday. We're here with you. We are live other times during the week in other markets, and you can find out more about that through the Winning at Life app, as well as if you want to know more about how I can help you in my day job as well. The reason I do this and my background is I am a financial advisor, money manager, and we at our firm, we are fiduciaries. So yeah, we use the F word around the office, fiduciary. If you want to join the conversation, this is live financial talk, so you can talk to us on the air. 504-260-0995. If you would like to start a conversation learning more about building tax-free income, I've got a book I want to send out to you. And you've just got to call the office, email me, text through the app, such as that. Tax-free income is what we're talking about building. Some of your money should be segregated for Uncle Sam. The tax rules allow it. So how about planning that way. The office number to request books, 504-832-9200, info@gregoryricks.com, and the website's gregoryricks.com, and we will send the book out to you. It's going to go through the mail to your mailing address. Give us information how to reach out to you and give us the book. Simple as that.
Info,
give you the book.
info@gregoryricks.com?
Yes.
Okay, so we were talking about Ward's call just on the break there. A couple things you probably...
Yeah, okay, so he has a first marriage, divorced, three children from that, which are his heirs. One of them adopted, so it's still one counts. Of his heirs. Yeah. That's, it doesn't matter if they've gone off on another course or anything. If you have a problem with any of your children, that's kind of called a will to decide that. But if you reside in Louisiana, it's forced heirship. He's got a second marriage and wanting to make sure his wife has interest in the house, but that's separate property because he acquired that prior to the marriage. So two of the children are 22, one 16, something like that. That is something that would need to be addressed through the will because they are going to have an interest should something happen to you. The new wife might be opted out unless you're doing a will. And if she's on the title, that does change things as well. So it isn't something, and it is complicated. And that's more reason why to talk to somebody like Wes Blanchard, our estate planning attorney that's a member of our Total Wealth Authority. Yeah, if you've had, he has those concerns, and yeah, it's something you need to address.
John Pascagoula, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Hey, John, how can we help you?
First, I want to say thank you to the Total Wealth Authority, James, Gregory. You've answered many of my questions in the past, and I sure appreciate all the great information I've gotten from you. Okay, I have a 401k. Right now, do not have a large income, around $7,000 a year. I want to convert some of that 401k to Roth IRA while my tax liability is low. How much can I take out at one time? Is there a minimum? I will pay taxes on that if so, if it's required by the amount of income with that added on, and that's my question.
Okay, well, we're talking about managing tax brackets here. So, John, your income's about $7,000 a year?
Yep.
Okay, that's 7000. I didn't misunderstand it. So you're in the, like, the lowest tax bracket. Now, depending, how much is in this 401k that you're wanting to do some conversions on?
Around $80,000.
Around $80,000. So if you're trying to stay, say... And are you married, single?
Single.
Single. Okay, single. So if you're trying to keep it in the 12% tax bracket, that's $9,701 through $9,701 through $39,475. So if you're trying to stay in that tax bracket, you could probably get this done in the next 3 years by doing so much a year. If you're trying to stay inside the 22% tax bracket with your standard deduction, you might be able to get it all done because you don't jump into the, remember, we're a progressive tax. So as you bump up, you're adding on more tax to the next layer. So the 22% bracket is $39,476 to $84,000. So I like strategic Roth conversions, and that's tax bracket management and doing it over a few years. So you've got an opportunity to shift this money at lower tax bracket. Are you going to have more income at some point in the future?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
You don't have any other income sources turning on in the future that would ramp up your tax bracket?
Not until I'm in my 60s. I'll have a state retirement and Social Security.
Okay, so it is ramping up. So this is your window to do that over the next few years before that, and you can do tax bracket management. As a single person, you know, it's kind of tough to get it in that 10% bracket because that's where you're at with $7,000 income, because 10% is zero to $9,700. But you have a good shot at managing it through the 12% bracket. Congrats.
And when you're doing a conversion, there's no 10% penalty for early withdrawal. That's a conversion. It's different,
it's,
right?
It's a conversion. Absolutely. Doesn't matter the age that you're doing the conversion.
All right.
Second question, if you have time for me.
Okay,
I sold a house for a small profit of around $8,000. I've had the house for about 6 or 7 years, and I've collected all of the taxes that I paid on that. I've never claimed them before. And so I called one time before, and I was told that I could claim all of them at once. My question is, does that mean that my tax return will then become itemized with no standard deduction, or can I do that separately based on the profit of a real estate sale?
Was this a rental property?
It was not. The profit was in the sale. It was a flip house, and I bought it, and I put a few improvements on it, but not much. And it ended up that the city used eminent domain to take the property, and I made about $8,000 over what I had put into it.
Okay. Now, you need to use a tax professional. You might be a do-it-yourselfer, and if you're using some software, it'll take you through that. But being it was for profit, so I would expect whatever you spent on it to be part of the cost basis. I'm just thinking out loud here on the radio, talking out loud. But whatever you've spent on it, on that property, and then ultimately what it sold for, that difference should be your profit. And if some of those expenses reduces that, then that probably can work. But I would make sure I'm working with somebody that knows all the tax rules.
Okay.
Hang on. Just to make sure I understand this. So you're saying if he bought the house at $100,000 and he put $8,000 into it and then sold it at $108,000, it would wash out the capital gains or whatever?
Yeah.
Is there a time issue on this? Like if he owned the house for more than a year or 2 years, it switches from capital gains to something else?
It wasn't a residence or anything. It was a flip house. He bought it to sell it. I think he probably would have wanted more profit, but sound like the government was involved.
Didn't have much of a choice.
Well, the only significant expense has been the property taxes on the property. The improvements were minimal except for my labor.
And I just don't know if the taxes are part of it. I don't want to answer for that and tell you that, but I, as a buyer, I'm sure, that was my cost of doing business and such, but I don't know enough about that. That's not my area. That's why I would call up Jude Heath. He's, our CPA member of the Total Wealth Authority. I believe in using tax professionals. Those people that really know that stuff, I want to depend on them to make sure it's right. Doesn't mean I won't read up and check it out and to know what's going on there, but that's also, I want to lean on those, just like Wes Blanchard on estate planning. I'm going to lean on him to make sure my documents are right.
All great questions, though, John. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
All right. If you want to be after John in Pascagoula, 504-260-0995.
Yeah, John's trying to get me to drill down on that, and I think he's good there, but I'm not the final say. The government is, but you need to use somebody who knows those tax rules.
All right. If you have a financial situation and you're not quite sure what to do, this show was built for you. Call Gregory, Hall of Fame financial advisor, ready to take your situation on, 504-260-0995. Or you can download the Winning at Life app, give us a call or text from the front screen. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Hop on now, let the tailgate fall, get drunk on you with no alcohol. If you don't stop, I'm gone. Girl, you're making me alone.
Are you going green? We are. Speaking of our money, growing it, I want to grow more green, accumulate. I want to keep more too. That's why I'm talking about tax-free income. How do you create more tax-free income? And some of your streams, look, if you can create tax-free income, and it doesn't mean that there's line 32-B-C-G, put that in line 35. No, I'm simplifying. We don't even want it to go on the 1040. Like Roth income, it doesn't go on the 1040. Max funding strategy, it doesn't go on the 1040. It doesn't add to your adjusted gross income. It doesn't make your Social Security more taxable. That's what we're talking about, changing the thinking, starting the conversation of how can we create some income that doesn't go on the 1040 and doesn't force your tax bracket to go up, or like our
caller here. It was John about the Roth conversions.
Yeah, John Pascagoula. Yeah.
And no, it's not going on 1040, so it's not affecting his tax bracket on doing Roth conversions there. So, yeah, I'm giving away a book. I've got a friend of mine that has written a book, and I wrote the foreword on it, and we're going to send you a copy of that book. I've got about – we've given out a bunch of these books, but I've got 200 more in. And you just got to simply call the office, 504-832-9200. Tell them you want the free book. We're going to mail it to you, so you understand we're going to need some information from you to do so. So you know what to do there. And you can email info@gregoryricks.com or reach out through us through the Winning at Life app, and we'll get that book out to you there.
Excuse me.
And a little music.
I just got excited for a second. My fault.
On that. So, and if you like, join the conversation. We have a few minutes left. The phone number, and gosh, been a busy morning with callers, all kind of topics, 504-260-0995.
We got a text on the break?
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. And then we'll cover this. One of our texts through the app asked a question, and we're going to talk about our lunch and learns after I cover this that's coming up
okay.
here in the next couple weeks. Jay asks, I am currently drawing Social Security and turning 65 in July. So he turned Social Security on early. His wife is 2 years younger. She worked in the public only a short time early in life. We think she could draw on his income as well. When could she reach 50% of what he draws? When she reaches full retirement age for her birth year, it would be her FRA, her full retirement age, she's eligible for 50% of your benefit. Now, if she turns it on before FRA, she's going to receive a reduction in benefit depending on how early she turns that on. And Jay, it appears you turned yours on, so you did receive a reduction in benefit.
Would hers be a reduction on the reduction?
It's going to be a reduction on the full retirement age benefit
okay.
that she's eligible for.
That's a little better.
Yeah. So, you know, and based on, and there's other terminology in there. What's the primary insurance amount too in the discussion? It's a little complicated, but she is eligible for 50% of his benefit. But for her to get the full 50%, she needs to wait till her full retirement age window to turn that on.
I guess Jay's concerned about her being hit by the windfall elimination provision.
Yeah, it's one reason he figures that probably isn't much of an effect if she did that early in life, which meaning probably worked where they weren't paying into Social Security.
But if she never turns on a pension from that work record, it's not going to matter?
It's not going to matter because that's where the offset comes from. Part of the offset is turning on a pension derived from working for a company that didn't pay in Social Security. So if she's not turning on a pension, she's not going to have an effect. You know, it's where some cases where we've talked about where people do have a pension, but it's not big, and they elect to not turn that on because it would affect the Social Security benefits.
Mike Pascagoula. You're next up on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. What's up, Mike?
Hello?
Mike?
Yeah, hey, you're already on the show. You can
Mike,
quit dialing.
Mike?
Hey, Mike, how can we help you? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 58 years old. Have about $900,000 in a 401k and have an existing mortgage. About 3 years left on it, owing about $40,000. The way the market's going right now, the 401k is not growing a lot, but other than just what I'm putting into it or contributing to it as far as gains. But just wondering, should I focus on my mortgage and put less into my 401k right now? Interest is about 3.25% on my mortgage. Just wondering if maybe that's a good route to focus on that, get the mortgage paid off, and then maybe things would be going a little better with the 401k and the full amount.
What is your age again, Mike?
58.
Your age? 58. That is a good idea to look in the near term and knock out that mortgage. You do have a really good rate, but it just, you know, I'd have to look at the math a little bit more, but you can kind of say you're getting it, like, if it's 3.5%, you're getting a 3.5% return guarantee on that money being put towards that mortgage. And then you can get that mortgage knocked out and then refocus back on the growth of that account. I think it's a good window for that right now, with what they're talking about, things slowing down and such, might be a little bit more difficult for consistent gains for a little while. Hopefully that helps, Mike. Thanks for calling us from Pascagoula on the Winning at Life hotline.
Charles, Gulfport, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, Charles?
Hey, Greg, listen, I got a very simple question. What are the tax brackets? I heard you speaking of them a while ago, like 10% so much.
Yeah. Are you married or single?
I'm married.
Okay. Well, what's your income bracket? Well, I mean, what's your income level this year?
Well, me and my wife together make about $3,000 a month for Social Security. And then my wife makes about $2,500 a month at a job.
Okay. So she's about 30-50% of Social Security's inclusive. In that, look, the tax bracket for the 12% married filing jointly is $19,401 to $78,950. All of Social Security's not inclusive, and that formula is your income plus 50% of that determines what amount is going to be inclusive. But it looks like you're falling, and remember, each of you have a $12,000 standard deduction. It looks like you're falling in about the 12% bracket. Congratulations.
Okay, that Charles. What's
all right.
What's the lowest? Bracket?
The lowest is 10%. You, as a married couple, need to be under $19,400.
I mean, technically the lowest is zero, but I know that's not what he's asking.
Yeah. Well, it's zero to 19,400, so it's 10%. Right. No income is no tax.
You think we got time to squeeze?
What about what's over 12%?
Yeah, 22%, you're going to be over $78,951 through $168,400. Thanks for the call. We're going to grab Reginald in Mobile real quick here. We've got about 1 minute.
Reginald, you're on. Go.
Yes, sir. Is the question about the 401k or just anything? I had another question. About
ask away.
Anything.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I have my mother's deeding me a couple of lots of property. They got a building on them.
Okay.
And the lawyer said when she deeded it to you, that means it's mine. I own it right now, and I can do what I want to do with it. But I have a sister that's in the way of me doing what I want to do with it. My mother's asked her for the keys to it, for the property, and if I can start billing on it or fixing it up or whatever. She don't want to get the keys up to my mother, and I don't want to cause no real problem, you know, for the police or whatever. But I was just wondering, how can I go by making her understand that it's already mine, even though
they're called attorneys. I don't know that the police are going to go get the keys from you. I would get legal counsel and have a discussion with that. If it's your property, then they will help you with the steps to take charge of your property.
Well, am I crazy to say you can just go ahead and skip a step and get a locksmith, Gregory?
Yeah, well, it's family, but I'd get legal advice before moving forward, saying, give me the dadgum keys, it's my property. Hey, if you'd like to thank you for the call, Reginald. Call my office if you'd like to continue discussions like this. I'm a money manager, fiduciary, financial advisor, 504-832-9200, gregoryricks.com. Thank you, and listen to us next Saturday again.
All right, you're home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. There you can find podcasts, links to our social media, links to our Total Wealth Authority, links to Gregory's day job. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Have a good one. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is for educational and entertainment purposes only and does not recommend the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Strategies for the private use of our audience. Find podcasts and contact info in the Winning at Life app and winningatlife.com. We are
Winning It Life with Gregory Riggs.